All right, welcome to Against All Odds. Cousin Sal coming to you with heel producer Jim Cunningham. And my gurus of gambling, my wizards of wagering, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bry, and Darren, the parlay kid. What is going on, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
I hear the parlay kid loud and clear, and I'm surprised because he did a number on his voice right there, game six, front and center. He and Mikey Meatballs, the Islanders defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning in overtime to force a game seven. And what could be, we'll discuss this, the last game at Nassau Coliseum. How are you feeling, parlay kid? What was the action? Tell us, take us through it.
Still on a high, Sal. Well, look, sitting basically ringside, you know, we're right on the ice last night at the game, full house, obviously, at the Coliseum. You know, the Islander fans, really, to me, really some of the best fans in the world in terms of rooting for a team that's been very passionate.
They threw garbage on the ice. I don't know. They're literally.
It was in celebration. It wasn't in.
Not that intelligent, those Long Islanders. Not that intelligent.
Wow.
Look, I wasn't in favor of it, but that was. I wasn't very thrilled with that. But it was, like I said, they weren't booing refs at that point, right, or anything, or throwing it at Tampa players. Shouldn't have happened, but. You know, when they were down 2-0, I have to say, Brother Bry said it's over. Game's over. He said it.
He said it's over. Really?
Yeah. Reverse jinx.
To Brian's defense, we're on a text chain where about eight other people, when it's like 1-0, say it's over. It's over.
Oh, that's good.
It's over.
Right, you waited.
It's over. We suck. And believe me, I can't believe some of these people that Brian and I are with, because.
Get them off.
Like, guys, you got to know this Islanders team. But when it was 2-0, I turned to Mikey Meatballs, mm-hmm, and I said to Michael, I go, you know, it's 2-0, but the Islanders are kind of playing their game.
Yeah, they are.
They're playing that gritty game. Tampa is really just snuck to it. If we could just get one on the board. You know, before the start of the game, I predicted overtime. I said, this game's going to overtime.
You did.
Right? And obviously, I think the only time I felt that we were in trouble was the 5-on-3.
Yeah.
And we didn't score. Yeah. We didn't really have a good attempt.
Yeah, like one shot.
I thought at that point it was like, oh, this could be trouble. And then they tied up on a great goal by Scotty Mayfield, who's also much maligned in the group text that I'm in all the time.
He may have changed the complexion of this series, knocking out Tampa Bay's best player.
Guy makes like, yeah, and he took out Coot. Yeah, the guy hits people all over the place. And then we have a very weak call on Matty Martin with like 5 or 6 minutes left in the game. High sticking call. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, very tense moment. But Sal, honestly,
I want to play because this is a subdued parlay kid trying to recollect here, get his thoughts together. But Jim Cunningham, we have some video that people are going to be able to hear.
You can play it. You can play it.
This is I think when they tied it 2-2 and then after the win. Go ahead.
Here we go again. 2-2. We got this. The bar.
Oh, my God.
You can't hear me. Let's go.
Wow.
All right. And that was to tie it and then in overtime.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
There he is. Big celebration. Then it's like, you know, maybe look for some trash to throw. You at least threw your gum on the ice. Admit you had to.
No, I did not do that. Never.
Well, good job by you.
Somebody could get hurt with that.
That was excellent. That was a lot of fun to watch
you
guys there.
I think that was video proof of Mikey Meatballs not cheering, just videotaping right there.
Michael, honestly. No. Michael and I were hugging this guy next to us.
Really?
I don't even know. This is why I was thinking about this last night. And this is another reason why I feel really bad for Harry, because he doesn't have a passion for any team.
Right.
And he has no commitment to any team, and it's not a good thing.
He's on Team Ken. That's his
passion. Sal, I was going to say, the only thing he's committed to is Ken.
Right.
It's the only thing in his life that he's committed to.
Yeah, but you never throw garbage in his vicinity, that's for sure.
Right. And I'm not making that up. But Sal, right, to have a team, what a thing to bring, you know, bring people together.
I know.
Sal, you were at the other, you know, at the other game, one of my best games I went to. It was the 95 Yankee Mariner game.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun.
And you remember that the taking the train home and people just, you know, you made a comment.
That's the greatest.
You know,
yeah.
You know, I remember.
The Mets beat the Yankees in the World Series game, game three, and I was like, oh, I'm on top of the world. Obviously, it didn't pan out for me after that. But, yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah, for taking the train.
And there's something, though. I'm telling you this. There's something about hockey. Honestly, this hockey is – there's nothing like it, though.
All right, let me ask you something, though, and I want you to be honest. And I'm going to judge the Brother Bri's reaction as to whether or not you're telling the truth here. It could be that, well, first of all, the difference between them losing and winning is a world of difference. But if they had lost, you would have been like, oh, well, that was pretty cool to be at the last game at Nassau Coliseum.
Yep.
And
okay.
Team did great. It was gravy, trots, all this stuff. Now they won, and now it's an even bigger accomplishment, right?
Sure.
Are you more okay with them losing now, knowing that you saw the last game and it was a win and it was an overtime?
Yes, because I've made this comment to people I work with, and I said, look, when it was 3-2, and you got to remember, at one point it's 2-0 yesterday, and the Islanders have been outscored 12-0.
Sure, it's got the last 12 goals.
Since game four.
Mm-hmm.
So 12 straight goals, that's almost, historic in terms of that. So my position was, let's win this game. And let's play a super competitive game in game seven and let the chips fall where they may.
All right. So to sum it up, the Parlay Kid would rather the Islanders lose here so he could say he went to the last game and it was overtime.
I'll just go to the last game against the Canadiens. I'll just go. I'm going to go.
Right.
Whenever it is, I'm going to be there for that last game.
All right.
At the Coliseum.
Oh, good. All right. So we are going to... All right, we'll move on from hockey. One thing I want to say is the Lightning are favored. They have a 3-3 game seven. They're favored to win the Stanley Cup, +155. The Canadiens +310. The Islanders +350. And the Knights have some work to do, 4-1 odds. What was weird about this yesterday, the Knights were shorter odds to win the Stanley Cup, down 3-2, than the Canadiens were, even though the Canadiens are clearly a favorite to win that series, -188. So I don't. You could stare at that forever. It will make sense and it won't make sense.
That
to
is
you,
crazy.
But, you can catch all these guys. Their picks, extrapoints.com, free picks every single day. Harry makes videos. But let's move to the NBA, which I don't know what the hell is going on. I mean, I've lost, I think, my last five games. I stayed away from the Phoenix wins. I probably would have had those. But I definitely had the 7-point Bucks just to win. I definitely had the 7-point Sixers just to win. I screwed up the rest of that Bucks. Nets game. I don't know. So Hawks win 116-113. Trae Young just goes crazy. I mean, they can't solve him. Somehow he was 5-for-23 in game seven. Like, what's the anomaly here, Brother Bri? Like that Trae Young, I don't think he should ever go 5-for-23 because that teardrop shot is there eight times for him a game, right?
I know, like, you referenced that last. You referenced that last night. That floater of his seems to be, you know, he seems to hit that like 80%
not even looking. Yeah.
Right. He seems to hit that like 80% of the time. I mean, you just assume it's going in. So, yeah, to have games like where he's 5-for-23 or 5-for-24 or whatever it was, I don't know how that possibly happened.
Yeah.
So the Bucks are now -200 to win the series, which seems high. It was -180 last night. As soon as that game ended, I clicked on FanDuel, -180, +152 for the Hawks. Now -200 and +168, Harry. I don't. If they can't solve Trae Young, then why is this not just a pick 'em? I mean, they were.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out the game. I'm looking. Well, they were out rebounded. The Bucks were 51-45, but points in the paint was 70-54. Milwaukee. I don't even know what I'm watching anymore. Other than that, I know that Giannis betting him to be the top scorer is not a good bet. I had that yesterday, and that's all. I was done in the first quarter, even though the Bucks had much life. That's two out of its last 10 that bet hit. And one out of the last seven times, if you take Giannis top scorer, not a good bet. But Harry, I don't know. I think this is a pick 'em the rest of the way.
Yeah, look, we've discussed this before. You'd never know what you're going to get out of Middleton. If you're going to get a 35-point game, or you're going to get a 5 out of 18 performance.
6 for 23 yesterday.
Yeah, yep. 6 for 23. I mean, honestly, and the Hawks have just Young thrives being on the road. They're 6-2. 6-2 on the road in the playoffs. They've won every game won on the road. They're just really amazing and just not getting the credit they deserve from the odds makers because, again, you know, I gave out the Hawks at +7 for game one on Tuesday, and it's just, I think, I know we discussed this a little while ago, so who are the Bucks to be giving 7, then it went up to 8? Just in the playoffs, they just don't blow teams out really usually.
Well, they do, though, because and this leads into my pick. They beat the Nets by 11 or more twice. They beat the Heat by 11 or more 3 times. They've had blowouts throughout the season. But
I'm talking if you go back to last year, too, and the year before when they choked. It's just they haven't performed.
Okay, I'm going back to last week and 2 weeks ago. I should go back further, you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying the Bucks were like one or two, the number one team or number two team the last couple of years and haven't got out to the Eastern Conference.
All right. Well, either way, my pick for game two, which is tomorrow, we'll get to game three, Suns Clippers, which is tonight. But I'm going Bucks by 11 or more. I'm a glutton for punishment. It's +135. Like I said, they have 5 playoff wins already by 11 or more. And if it's going to happen in this series, it's got to be game two. And it's got to be Chris Middleton making more than 6 shots or taking fewer than 23 or something. So that's my pick. But, Harry, what the hell are you talking about? I have written down here that you like the Bucks -7.5.
I do. I'm just making a point for the Hawks for the series, but like the Bucks in game two. You know,
it's -8 now, Sal.
Yeah, right. It's -8 now. Yeah.
Well, okay. Jeez. Well, still, I'm on the Bucks with you too, Sal, because in game twos, Bucks have been really good, and the Hawks have been very bad in game twos, and I'm just bouncing back with that. Like we mentioned, Brooke Lopez, I think, needs to bounce back and play good like he did in game 7 when he had 19 against the Nets. He's got to be there. Hawks got a game, and they'll just be fine going home 1-1. Mm-hmm. And I think Giannis and the Bucks have bounced back in a big way in game 2. Right. And Sal, I think that might be a good bet there, 11 or more.
Definitely. But they've never blown anybody out since 2011.
Are you talking about the Bucks this year, or are you betting the Bucks last year?
Listen, they blew out the Hawks in the last 2 games of the regular season this year when they played.
Harry starts like, I wonder what, like, if he had to write a thesis in college. Like he starts off with who are the Bucks to give 8 points to anyone? And then, okay, here's 15 reasons why the Bucks would blow them out.
The only reason why is like them in game 2, because the Hawks have been terrible in game 2. And the Bucks have been very good in game 2. That's it.
All right. So we agree, I think. I don't know. All right, Pauly Kid, Bucks, you also like the
Bucks. Yeah, well, I mean, this is my dream NBA scenario for the most part.
Mine is that it
because
ends.
Because you're putting the Bucks on every parlay you have to win. You're going to win. That's a fact, right? So I always root, unless it's my team, as a bettor, I root for the home team to lose game 1. Because 90% of the time they're winning and covering game 2. It just feels like that. I'm going to take the -8 at -106. Mm. But you have me really thinking. So if I'm going to do that, why not go for the +135 that you're giving out?
Right.
And if I'm thinking -8, I'm thinking that they're going to control this game. I probably really should roll with yours. But since I said I was going to go with the Bucks -8, I'm going to stick with that. The X factor is quite simply Middleton. When he plays well, they win.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play well, they lose. So Middleton normally backs up a poor performance with a good one. So I'm banking, especially at home, Middleton turns it around real quickly, and he has a big game. And the Bucks win this game going away. Hawks are happy to split.
I'm with you. I think they need a little help, though, from the refs or something. I think Trae Young, I don't know, it's like doubling his point total, right? Like 48, or sometimes we see him around 21, Young, 24, 25. It's crazy shit.
He's really stepped it up. I mean, he's
I was so much more afraid of him with the ball than Giannis. I mean, first of all, Giannis, unless he took it at midcourt, he was going to, if it was passed inside, it looked like he was going to turn it
over.
Well,
you know,
right?
Young, you know, he's a better shooter than Giannis, and he knows how to get to the line.
Right.
And when he gets to the line, he makes his free throws. So
seems
he's
simple.
A threat
yeah.
at all times. He's a threat. It's just, and you know, he's really so good at drawing those fouls, like Harden-ish, you know, like with the way he does it. He's just, he's kind of what we're seeing right now is maybe the kind of the ascension we saw of Curry years ago, right? Where you're like, I can't believe this guy's this good.
Right.
He really is this good right now.
Yeah, so. Every possession is points. All right, Bri. Yeah, I think I think I probably should have done it this way. This way you don't have to watch the whole game, but you like the Bucks to win the first. Oh, you have them first quarter and the game.
Yeah, so they didn't have a first quarter lineup, which I'm definitely going to take the first quarter line once it's there. But I do like the Bucks first to win the first quarter and to win the game was minus 135. I will say, Sal, to Parley, you know, what Parley Q was saying, I have a feeling on Fox Bet Live, you're going to be parlaying the Bucks with like Lomachenko, with Gervonta Davis, right? There's
Italy to outlast Austria.
To advance. I know it's happening already. So
Austria's good. Austria's
I kind of like
good.
It.
Shut up.
But I'll say, I mean, I think Trae Young had a real big game yesterday just because I bet the under 28.5 on the podcast on Tuesday. But God, was that over immediately.
Right.
But I think this plays out similarly to game two against the 76ers. But the in terms of like the Hawks game where they got blown out in game two, although that was close for a little bit. But the Bucks seemed to miss last night. It was like, I don't know, it seemed like 20 layups. It just seemed like a lot of crappy shots. A
lot of in and out.
Middleton was really bad, but like his shots were slightly off. Like I couldn't tell. I kept telling you guys it was like a toilet bowl. They were rimming in and out.
Right.
Yes,
but you know, Giannis was very good, but he could be even better. Bogdanović is clearly hurt for them. So Trey Collins and Collins, I think, couldn't have been better on the road. So
Collins
I think they're
ridiculous.
Yeah. So the urgency will be there for Giannis in game two. I think they come out hard and they win the first quarter and the game.
One of my sports pet peeves, Brian, it shouldn't matter because these are all pros, right? But when the home team is rimming out on their own court in the first quarter, it's like, what the frick? And the Hawks were draining. And they both started off really slow from behind the arc. But the Bucks couldn't make an 8-footer, right? So it was either a dunk or they were going to miss in that first quarter. I was like, what the heck? Who's home here? What's going on? I'm screaming. I don't even know who I'm screaming at. Brian, they do have odds on FanDuel has them up now. First quarter money line is Bucks minus 215. Wow.
What is this? What's the spread is
two? 2.5 minus 120.
Yeah, I would still take that.
Yeah.
I would still take that. But, all right. But Sal, I know it's so funny. You know which way you're betting because even in a game that's close and a pretty fun game to watch, Sal immediately is like, this is garbage.
I was saying that. I was getting the text messages from you guys last night.
I felt bad for you, Parlay Kid. You're at the Islanders game, and I'm bombarded because you happen to, but you're on like four other text chains of mine. So you probably got 1,000 texts that had nothing to do with hockey.
We're getting that, like, this game sucks. Yeah. I can't stand it. NBA blows.
Yeah, right.
You know, we're getting a lot of that.
I stand by it all. Yeah. Yeah. I hate it. I hate it. We got to move on. But anyway, tonight, Suns at Clippers, game three. Now this has jumped to 1.5. Boy, the Suns and four guy has really gotten into the odds makers' heads here. Phoenix on the road, a 1.5-point favorite. What's the over-under? 221.5? Maybe that changed. They're changing so much, these lines. 221.5 is the over-under. Hey, we raced to 10 with these two squads on Tuesday. Wow. Check it out if you haven't on the Extra Points Pod Twitter feed there. We, Eddie Spaghetti put together a nice little montage of our we were distraught for the first few minutes and then pure elation down 8-2 and we had the ball and we came back and we won. Brother Bri, good job by you. Now 3-0 in picking the race to 10. We may have him do it the rest of the way, like he mentioned, like a craps, like, yeah, you just keep shooting, do it. But that was
Harry,
so damn good.
I think Harry would agree. I think I'm all for that.
I don't want to pick. I don't want it.
Brian, I don't want to put all this pressure on Brian, but it's also nice to win. So what do you think?
Right.
Yeah, I can
do it. You ride the hot hand.
I can do it
Game four, Tuesday is game four. Atlanta is home against the Bucks. So that, right. start thinking, Brian. I'm not saying spending all of the next 5 days
That's a good one, though. That's going to be a fun one.
That'll be good. So anyway, the Suns 1.5 tonight. In L.A., Chris Paul coming back, bringing his COVID here. You know, L.A. was free of COVID, and now, I don't know, now we get this guy here bringing it back. It's funny because, Bri, you had him 18-1 a couple weeks ago to win NBA Finals MVP. I jumped on it late on Tuesday. I said 5-1, even though he hasn't played in this series. This is just for NBA Finals. Now I'm going the other way and saying maybe he shouldn't even play game three. Holy crap. Cameron Payne, a Texas legend, that's the name of his team, last January.
No, right.
Goes 37 minutes parlay kid without turning the ball over. And then he scored 27 points or 29 points. Phenomenal.
Been fantastic. Getting about 8-9 assists per game as well. Good for that kid. I mean, some kids just need a chance. He's getting a chance and he's capitalizing it. And he's going to get paid at some point now for his play. So you're right. I'm not sure if you need to rush Paul back, but it's not like we're rushing him back from an injury, right? So, or if, you know, as far as we know, he's pretty much been healthy the whole time. So I guess you got to get his, you got to get his wind and his legs back too. So I guess he's got to play. So
exactly. Well, I'm going to go. I've not done well with these matchups, these player matchups, but, and this is, I'm not doing anyone a favor picking a minus 162, but Paul George over Devin Booker. I think maybe their offense will be a little bit out of sorts with Paul there, at least in the beginning, and Devin Booker's numbers will suffer. And then you got Paul George, who's like the ultimate redemption guy, right? What does he have? He'll score 37 and then 28. And then 34, and then 26. So I'm zigzagging.
Yeah.
We're up to the zag, the good Paul George part, where he redeems himself for missing two clutch free throws in the last 9 seconds there. And I think he puts up a 38, 39-point game, and I think that's enough to be more outscore Devin Booker. He has a few 31s in there, too. I like Paul George. I root for him. But it's also fun to make fun of him when he misses free throws. So I'll go Paul George minus 162 over Devin Booker. That's my player prop. Paulie Kidd, back at you. You like the Clippers. Not so fast, Suns.
Well, the Clippers plus 100, right on the money line. Look, we've been there, done that here for the Clippers, right? They've been down in their previous two series, 2-0, and they found a way to win. And let's face it, they were right there to win game two.
Sure.
So I know Paul's back, but man, sometimes that could hurt just a little bit in terms of now figuring him back into the rotation. I don't know. Maybe there's something that's off in the Suns game tonight because of that. I don't know. It's stupid logic in a way, but there's something that, look, the Clippers, this is a must win, right? They have to win this game. They're home. They've come back twice from 2-0. Why, if I'm getting plus 100 on this game, why would I not take that with this Clippers team? I also sell because that is my extra points pick of the day too.
All right.
I don't love to double dip. I'm also going to say I recommend Reggie Jackson over 26.5 points, rebounds, assists at minus 113. Sal,
brother,
I like
that
as well.
Was he 19?
He's done it in four straight games.
19
four straight. He's gone over to 26. Was that game two where he was 19? Or
Brian had it.
It was game two. I had 19.5. He had like 19 points with 48 minutes left in the game, and he ended with 19.
Only 48. Wow. That's his damn player props. I get him every time. Parlay Kid. I mean, I'm looking at the first quarter spread, and it's Clippers are getting a half a point in the first quarter, and it's minus 124. Shit. I mean, if you really.
I know. You know what? The thing that scared the Clippers, I don't know. They just slow starting sometimes, I feel like. But
if our narrative is that Chris Paul and the offense is going to take a minute to get in sync.
It's very true. No, I like it. I like it across the board. I think the Clippers have a strong game.
Yeah.
If there's going to be a game they win this series, this has got to be it.
All right, Harry, before you moved to Vail, you were a resident of Arizona and Phoenix and Scottsdale area right there, Paradise Valley, and you're sticking with your Suns.
I am. Look, I hear what Parlick had said here about the Clippers starting slow and then bouncing back. But I don't know. Oh, lost two to Dallas, lost two to Utah. And maybe if they lost this game two by 15 or 20 points, that might be a little different thing. But the way they lost that game two, the way they lost it, I don't think they got enough left in the tank, especially with no Leonard. No answer for Ayton down low. He's been dominant down there, getting tons of easy baskets. You mentioned Cameron Payne, Sal, 29-9. He's been fantastic filling in for Chris Paul, not just in these two games, but also when Paul was hurt during the Lakers series.
Yeah, but he's not going to be in there, though. So
he'll get enough. Okay. And Booker didn't even have a great game scoring in game two, and they still won the game. And not to mention, Suns have won 9 in a row in the playoffs. 9 in a row. They're rolling.
It's a lot. Yeah, I don't know what to make of this Suns team. I don't know. Some people say that's the best two teams. We're watching the best two teams when it's the Suns and the Clippers. It might be. Or they might be like eighth and 11th. Like, I have no friggin' idea.
Hey Sal, speaking of the player point matchup, the one right below George and Booker.
Yeah, I was looking at that one.
Ayton is plus 108 over Paul. Harry, what do you think about that? You like that? Or
ooh.
Paul was rolling with his points.
What are they, both around 15? Is that, they both expect to have about 15? Is that what it is?
I don't, actually, it's a good point.
Ayton was 15 and a half a couple days ago.
Ayton is 15 and a half at minus 122.
That's a tough
one. Paul is 16 and a half minus 122.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like you said, though, Ayton.
He's getting so many easy points down low.
That's from the easy points, right? Exactly. So, and I think it might take Paul a little bit of time to find his game. So maybe that's not a bad player point matchup right there.
How about this, Brian? We'll get to yours in a second. But Chris Paul under 12 and a half, plus 280. I don't know. Why not?
He can go
11 and 7 and whatever, right? It's not a bad number.
Yeah, absolutely. He did that the whole Denver series.
Yeah.
Right?
All right, Brian.
Not Denver. Dallas.
Lakers.
I'm getting my.
Doesn't matter anymore. It really does.
36 in the last game against Denver.
It's all a blur.
Parley kid.
36 against Denver in game four.
Brother Brian, you like Beverly. Yes. Beverly's not someone we've mentioned a lot in this series.
Yeah, I was actually shocked at this number, but his over-under was 7.5, but I love the under here. Even though you got LA minus 135, I think it definitely is high. He's only gone over this number twice in 12 playoff games so far. But we know why Beverly's out there. He's a pest at times. You know, he can suffocate you. He can break your nose and think it's an offensive foul. Mm-hmm. But with Paul back, he's really going to have his hands full between Paul and Booker. I mean, that's going to be his job, right? Stopping whoever the hot hand is there. You know, he's going to get his occasional three when he's left wide open, but there's always the possibility in this game, especially, you know, I know he did start two last game, which he had been coming off the bench, but there is always the possibility against Booker or Paul, he picks up some fouls early and has to check out of the game here too. So, give me under 7.5. You have some adjusted lines too for Beverly. If you like unders or him basically doing nothing, you could get, you know, like under 4.5 plus 280, but not out of the realm of possibility. He only hits 1-3 and that's it for the game.
That's good. All right. That'll be fun. So that's Suns Clippers tonight, and we'll hit you back on Race to 10 Tuesday. Most exciting 4 to 8 minutes in sports gambling. It just is. There's nothing else. I'm sorry. You can compare it. Everyone's like, it's like a horse race. Like, no, it isn't. You don't know where your horse is for the first minute, and then you lose him again in the next 45 seconds, and then you either win or lose.
Like, that would have been like the other day if a horse broke their leg out of the gate, but then won the race.
Yeah, exactly. If the horse broke his fistula, what is it, Harry? I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Before we move on, let's take a quick break. Yes, Euro 2020 is here. The knockout stage after a year delay. It's always exciting when a player scores a goal in the Euros, but this year, twice as exciting because FanDuel is paying out double the winnings to new users when you bet on a player to score during a Euro 2020 game. Yes, 2020. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook. Enter promo code against all odds. And pick your goal scorer in the anytime goal scorer market for a shot at 2x the payout. Harry Kane for England, Romelu Lukaku from Belgium, Kylian Mbappe, France, Cristiano Ronaldo. That's the one I should be able to say, right? From Portugal. So many right out there. Robert Lewandowski from Poland. Yes, no matter who you pick, FanDuel will double your payout up to $250, and you'll have your bonus in less than 72 hours. Do it. Sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook with promo code against all odds and choose any player in the anytime goal scorer market for a chance to double your winnings. That's code against all odds. All right, let's move on to the NFL because I'm always, always, always looking for an excuse to talk about football. And while I badmouth Aaron Rodgers, he has given us an opportunity at least to get in to some of these props. And I was looking at the odds for MVP. Now, we'll do this all again in August, I'm sure, and maybe even next month. But I'm looking at the MVP odds. Mahomes, 5-1 odds. Rodgers, 10-1 odds. Brady, 12-1. Josh Allen, 13. Dak, 15. Lamar, 17. Those are the top six. Rodgers obviously won last year. What happens to that Rodgers number 10-1 if he goes to Denver? I think while he might see it as a good move, yeah, Parlay Kid, I think that goes up. You know what you're getting with Rodgers in Green Bay, who, by the way, is extending Devontae Adams. So for all that Devontae Adams said, we got your back. We got Devontae Adams looks like he plans on staying in Green Bay for some time now. But Rodgers won the MVP. We know what he gets in an offense. We know what he gets going up against that division. He's lost only two games, I think, in the last 2 years to the NFC North. Now you put him in the AFC West. That number doesn't go to 15-1, but probably goes to 12. I don't like Rodgers as an MVP in the AFC West. I don't mind him in the NFC North, right, Parlay Kid? Am I looking at this the right way?
You're exactly looking at this the right way, Sal. I think that's great logic. Yeah, if he goes to Denver, that 10-1, what is it?
Not even the number one quarterback odds-wise in that division.
Right, exactly. I'm not sure what that number would be. It would be tough to figure it out, but it's you're going to get better value than if he's in Green Bay, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think, right?
So I think Brother Brian and I talk about this, and the same with the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. So Chiefs to win the Super Bowl is 6-1, and I think like our reasoning there is like, well, if you bet them every year for the next 6 years, you're probably going to make money. If you bet them until they win, and then you bail out of the bet, you're probably going to win. They'll win in the next year or next two or next 3 years. I feel the same for Mahomes. 5-1 odds, as long as he's healthy, obviously. I know it's a weak pick here at 5-1, but he's in the top three every year. If he's healthy and it's week 15, there's just no way he's not in that discussion, right? And they worked on that offensive line. I know Long is a little busted up now, but that was the weak point. That was the thing to worry about entering 2021 season. But like I said, 316 yards a game was number one in the league last year. 1% interception rate, number one in the league last year. And he was 14-1. It's almost ridiculous that he didn't win last year if you look at those numbers. But Aaron Rodgers, great job. And they dominated the NFC in the regular season. So he won it. But I think Mahomes, much like the Chiefs, you go with him every year until he wins, and you'll collect on 5-1.
Yeah.
Pauly Kidd, you're going a little bit of favoritism.
I'm going to be a homer here, but I like what you're saying, so because you know what? Probably by week 8 or 9, Mahomes is like 3-1, right, at that time. So it just seems like that he's, and then maybe by week 15, he's like even odds because his numbers, if he's healthy, are going to be fantastic, and the Chiefs are going to win a lot of football games. So to grab him at 5-1 is still good value in my mind. So I do like what you're saying there. But I'm going to go, and you know, I've always been a Tony Romo guy. So, but Dak Prescott has really grown on me over the years. Mm-hmm. He's become an excellent quarterback. And as Harry knows, as we've talked about this before, he was on pace to maybe set a record for yards last year before his injury. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be coming off a gruesome injury. If this guy is healthy and he throws for, my prediction is he's going to approach 5,500 yards this year for the Cowboys and probably approach 35 to 40 touchdowns. And if the Cowboys can win that division, he is going to be in the running for that. And I would grab, if this comeback player of the year award odds, I would jump on him right now, no matter what those odds are too.
I think Alex Smith is going to just keep winning that every year, whether he shoots up or not. Yeah. He's up there. I forgot who else did we see for that. Oh, there was someone else who didn't get injured who could maybe win that. And I was furious. Who the hell did someone opt out or somebody come out? No, they just had a bad year. I can't remember. Joel says Stephen Gostkowski. No, it's not him. It was Carson Wentz win it. Like Carson Wentz was up there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yes. So
that was not like, what did he do? He got traded. He was lucky. All right. Brother Bri, jump in there. I know you're a Mahomes guy. What are you going with here?
Yeah. I mean, the Mahomes at 5-1, I mean, it's great value because, like you see, he's going to be top, you know, he's going to be top three every year. He's going to win this award two or three more times probably in his career, right? So I think it makes sense, especially over these next few years. He's going to win
it once or twice. I feel like Parlay Kid said like his odds will go down as week eight, but I almost feel like he'd be plus 350 right now if he didn't have that injury. Obviously, right. Everyone's prone to
I
injury.
I know, right? But, yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he's talking about a perfect season, and you know, so you know, and with the extra game, yeah, if he's healthy, who knows? He, you know, he's mm-hmm. the type of guy who could get 6,000 yards, right, in a 17-game season. But you know, when I was looking at some type of value, I was like, you know, I know this is a guy Harry liked last year, but I would look at Kyler Murray at 23-1. Look, it's pretty high considering this is higher than it was at this point last year. So mm-hmm. I think last year, I think maybe started off like, you know, a year ago, you know, like last April was like 25-1, but he dropped to like 12-15-1 before the season. But now you're getting him at 23-1. This is a guy very easily could be, you know, 4,500 yards, maybe more passing, 1,000 yards rushing, which, you know, this would be the first guy ever to do something even close to that. But, you know, halfway through the season last year, he was an MVP candidate, mm-hmm. but he seemed to get hurt the second of the half of the year.
And
that's when they lost, you know, his shoulder or whatever issues he had, but they lost five of the last seven. They're going to have a better line this year. They added, you know, Rodney Hudson from the Raiders, who's probably the best center in football, which great job by the Raiders.
People are sleeping on the Cardinals this year. They're sleeping on the Cardinals.
Well, this is a good number, Bri, 23-1. But then they have to win the division, though, for him to win, right?
I mean, that's the thing, right? Well, they got to at least fit, you know, they have to at least make the playoffs, wins, and his numbers wins. Have to be crazy. But, you know, I do like the addition of Rondale Moore for Murray as a weapon. So, yeah, I just like the fact that, you know, he had a great year last year. He's going to be better, and you're getting better odds than you got last year. And mm-hmm. in the third year, you know, maybe like Josh Allen or whoever, you know, he takes a bigger step. And I just like those odds there.
Yeah. 6-1 to win the division. So those are, that's a nice dance partner for that bet, that Murray MVP bet right there. So there you go. All right, Harry. I you sent me your answer. I thought it was going to be something infuriating, but this isn't bad. I could live with this. Tell what you got.
Yeah, I'm going to take Josh Allen at 13-1. I think that's pretty good value, too. He's done in the last 3 years, something no one's been able to achieve in Buffalo since Machine Gun Kelly in the early 90s. Playoffs 2 years ago, AFC Championship last year, 45 total touchdowns last year, and he can also beat you with his legs in 3 years as a pro. He's got 27 rushing touchdowns. And last year, five times, he had four touchdowns in the game. Just throwing this out there, Mahomes, three. And only once did he have a negative game picks to touchdown ratio. Mahomes had two. Just throwing that out there. And Josh Allen, the 13-1.
What do you, Mahomes? I just told you, Mahomes had 1% interception rate, number one in the league. And that's what you go after, Mahomes' interceptions?
I'm saying that those two stats I just gave are better on Josh Allen's side than Mahomes. That's all. And Mahomes has gotten injured lately. And Allen is as healthy as a horse.
All right. Bri, what does that mean? Is Mahomes just throwing more passes? I don't know how that rectified that. Harry is also, I will say, Josh Allen went from 59. I mean, that was the big thing. He went from 59% completion quarterback to a 69% completion quarterback, right? So that was a bit. No one jumps that much in their second to third year or first to second or anything. So, yeah, Josh Allen at 13-1 on a team that could win 13 or 14 games is not bad. Your boy,
90-1.
What's 90-1?
Sam Darnold, which is a joke. 90-1. She'd be 9,000-1.
Wow. I'm looking at your guy Dalvin Cook at 75-1. And to your credit, only two running backs are ahead of him, Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry at 50-1. Everybody
2,000 combined yards last year.
Yeah, no, I get it. Baker's fun at 26-1. I'm just looking at teams that could surprise and win 12 or 13 games in there. Deshaun Watson, 50-1. No, not happening. All right, so that'll be fun. We'll only do that about six more times between now and September 8th. But those are the MVP odds. Right now it's time. Each week, the Degenerate Trifecta and I set sail, tackling pretend propositions as they pertain to sports and pop culture as we jump on the Riverboat Casino. Let's do it. And in light of the Parlay Kid and Mikey Meatballs attending what could be the last game ever at Nassau Coliseum. Parlay Kid already went on record, says he hopes that was the last game ever, so he could go and say, I saw the last game ever at Nassau Coliseum. But anyway, got to thinking, Which sports last would you most want to attend? Which sports last? I mean, the category, the possibilities are endless. Would it be the last game at Nassau Coliseum, 5-2 odds? Parley Kid and Mikey Meatballs may have pulled that off. Kobe's last game, he went crazy at Staples Center, 3-1 odds. Tiger Woods' last Masters win, that's a nice little ticket stub to have. Or Logan Paul's last fight, 75,000-1. I don't think there's going to be a lot of takers on that. Or you can go the field, minus 200. Harry, what is your pick for the last sporting event you would most want to attend?
Well, I'm going to take the field here. And Parley Kid mentioning earlier that I don't have a team. I don't follow a team. Now, this might be a lame pick, and you guys don't give a crap about it. But my team that I do follow all the time is the Syracuse Orange basketball team. And Parley Kid knows this. And I'm going to say I was only 9 years old, but I remember the game when there was their last game in Manly Fieldhouse where they only have 5,400 fans, 5,400 seats, and they played Georgetown. I was 9 years old, and I begged my dad to go to if he would get tickets to go to the game. Obviously, he didn't get tickets. I would have loved to have went. They played the rival Georgetown, lost the game 52-50. I remember watching on TV when I was nine in 1980. I wanted to go to that game so bad at Manly Fieldhouse. And then the next year, they opened, obviously, the Carrier Dome.
They lost the game, and you would have wanted to go. You're a Syracuse fan. They lost the game. There was 9,000 fans. Your father was drunk and made the right decision not to drive you 40 minutes to Syracuse, and you, this is the one you picked?
Oh, my
gosh. He took me to a lot of games, but he didn't. I never got to go to Manly Fieldhouse, and I wanted to go to that last game so bad.
Interesting. Well, the scratch-off lottery tickets weren't treating him right that day. What are you going to do? All right, Brother Bry, jump in here.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, this got me thinking about like a million different things. But yeah, the Kobe one is great. I mean, yeah, to say you were at Kobe's 80, you know, or in the Tiger Woods Masters. I mean, I can only imagine being at those. But I'm going to say for myself personally, I'm going to say the Raiders' last Super Bowl in 1983, which technically happened in 84. So I would have only been four at the time. So I wouldn't have remembered any like shit about that game anyway, even if I did go. But I'm 41 now. There's a harsh reality that Mahomes is going to rule this division for the next 12 to 15 years. I'm going to be mid-50s or late-50s by the time he's done. Yeah. I may be dead by then. I may not get to see another Raider. Well, it's possible. I may not get to see another or maybe never get to see a Raiders Super Bowl.
His player props are going to kill Brother Bry. Yeah.
Losing will do that to you.
I know, especially when
losing
we're
kills you.
You know, when we're gamblers, we really, our life expectancy is like 28 and a half years old.
Right. You're already ahead of the curve.
So, yes, exactly. So, especially, you know, since Carr's essentially never leaving the Raiders. So, I'll give myself the Raiders. Yeah, 1983 Super Bowl.
Wait, so what was that? That was
the Redskins. That was the Marcus.
Oh, yeah. So, that was Marcus Allen. Marcus Allen. Crazy reverse run. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
That's a fun one to be at. All right, Parley Kid, do you go with? Now you have one under your belt. This is gravy for you. Last game at Coliseum could be good enough.
Yeah, I mean, I like to say, I mean, I do have a jersey from Tony Romo's last win.
I have that written down against the Dolphins.
All right, I have that. Mm-hmm. I was at Don Mattingly's last game at Yankee Stadium with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we were
right. And he actually homered in that last game, and Jim Leyritz won it in the bottom of the 15th. Mariano threw three shutout innings when nobody knew who Mariano Rivera was.
Did you stay for the whole game?
Yes, we did.
You're not going to get him on that, Harry. Come on.
Harry, how are you not?
I never leave a game early.
How come Harry, I know Harry was upstairs or wherever the hell Harry was. How come Harry wasn't at that game? Because we had like 25 guys at that game.
Because we invited Larry.
Yeah, I don't think Ken let him go. Ken wouldn't let him go.
Larry was there.
Getting a pedicure.
Heck, I even think Coop was there.
Oh, you might be right.
It.
Yeah, He wasn't. Paulie Crispino was there, too, with us.
Nice.
Mike Marino. It was a great crowd. But, Sal, there was nothing that could have topped last night.
There you go.
And, look, you know, thank you to, you know, Extra Points for making that really happen. I don't think without you guys that would have happened. So, One of the young men I bought to the game last night texted me. One of my son's friends said, "Thank you for giving me one of the best nights of my life."
Really?
That's what he said. What he said. He said, and that's why we thought.
Wait a minute. What? Sorry, I lost you. I'm getting mad at this whiny dog here. What happened? Someone texted you about?
Yeah, my son bought one of his friends, and he texted me when he got home, and he said, "Thank you for giving me one of the best nights of my life."
Oh, that's nice.
Like that's how we felt about it. That's how that game was.
Right.
It was incredible, Sal. The atmosphere couldn't have been better. I'm glad I was possibly there at the last game at Nassau Coliseum. But I'll tell you what, if there's another one, I'll be there.
Really? All right.
Yes, I will be
there.
I don't
know what to believe. I minus 180.
I have to now.
The
Harley
kid's lying is minus 180, I think. I don't know. I am going to go with one. I'm going to take you guys back. Do you remember the significance of January 1st, 404 AD? Well, I'll give you a hint. All right. The Emperor Honorius decreed the end of gladiatorial contests in 399 AD. They finally ended 5 years later. This is the last fight at the Roman Colosseum. The last known gladiatorial fight at the Roman Colosseum took place under the reign of Honorius. Mel Gibson was there cursing out the Jews. It was a crazy, crazy day. My ancestors, I'm sure, lost on a bad beat. Someone was allergic to their own body armor or some crap. But there you go. The last fight at the Roman Colosseum. Imagine being around for that. I mean, not that around now to talk about it, but a ticket stub is worth at least $18. And the NFT is worth $18 million. And Joel is selling T-shirts that are worth somewhere in between. But that's what I'm going with. The last fight at the Roman Colosseum. How great would that have been?
I'm very curious, like when you watch like movies like Gladiator, were there rules back then? Like, do they say like no shots, even though it's fight to the death, but no shots to the groin, or like you can't bite anyone?
Pussy rules. You can pull hair, kick in the nuts. By the way, the guy's dead. So what are you going to do? Like, no, sorry, you're disqualified. The dead guy moves on to the next round. I don't even know how you would do it.
What food do they serve there?
They had top-notch steak. You know, they had all the great stuff. All right, let's jump in there. What do you got, Joel Solomon?
This is tough because I could easily go Hofstra's last football game against UMass, a big win, 52-38. You've got the last Kardashian wedding to an athlete would be amazing.
Close
that out, yeah. But no jokes here. I mean, I went to Jeter's last game. There were rumors that he was going to retire, and we raced to get a season ticket package that included the last game at Yankee Stadium, which basically, you know, cost what tickets to the final game would have been. Dave Robertson, of course, blew a save. That should have been his last game as a Yankee also, but it was incredible. He blew a save, allowing Jeter one last at bat.
Against the Sox, right?
The Orioles.
Right. Remember, Joel, that's a great call. I love it. I'm my brother Brian and I
were
out at
Miller's
bar.
Miller's Ale House.
Miller's, and we were watching that game, and it was like a miracle, like the way the game was tied, right?
Completely.
Like Baltimore tied the game up, but it enabled Jeter to get that winning hit, right? It was like that perfect Jeter hit, the inside out swing.
Yeah, he's slider into
Harry.
I could have got a base hit on that meatball that was down the middle. Give me a break. Wow. 85 mile per hour meatball.
You
would have
eaten the meatball before you right. hit it.
That's what they served at the Roman Coliseum. 85 mile an hour meatballs.
And then he gave Derek everyone a gift basket after the game.
So Joel, the one you would pick was the one you were at then. I mean, that's fine.
That would be it. Also went to Jerome Bettis's last game, the Super Bowl in Detroit, which was awesome. And I don't know, or Parlay Kid's last wrestling match would have been amazing. I don't know what disability the kid had.
I was there. But yeah, well, wasn't that great? I was there. Yeah. kid from Brentwood, right?
So we should put the wrestling match with you and Finken. Like, I wish I was there for that.
That should have been his last match.
Now
I'm going to get crap for that. I don't care. Joel, do you have any? How do we make up to Harry for not making that Syracuse Georgetown game that lost by a bucket?
We're already looking into flights. The final Shanghai Dragons game. We're going to send him overseas. Okay.
Good. That's smart. All right.
He can enjoy that with Ken.
Good. Jim Cunningham, what would be your favorite last to attend?
There's a lot of good choices here. The Kobe one would be fun because that was hilarious. And what'd he take, like 60-something shots?
He's still there.
I actually almost bought tickets to that earlier in the season because I was thinking he might retire. And yeah. I wish I had. It would have been fun, or I could have made some money off it. I went to Mariano's last game at Yankee Stadium. That was really fun.
Really?
And it was good because I went with my dad and my cousin was taking a crap when Mariano came out of the bullpen for the last time. So we missed it. So that was hilarious.
No. But
yeah, so I was thinking maybe Michael Jordan's last dance with the Bulls would be good when he beats Utah. I think I'd go with Vince Young's last college game, Reggie Bush's last college game, that Rose Bowl game, 2006.
Wow. Arguably amazing. The greatest college game ever played. Yeah, Jim, you have like 50 cousins, so the odds are that one of them is going to be taking a shit during Mariano Rivera's last stint.
Yep. Death taxes, and one of them's taking a shit.
Exactly.
Right.
Spaghetti, you got anything? Meatballs? Anybody for favorite last?
For me, it would have been the two options I would have used were like Eli Manning's last or Henrik Lundqvist's last game, but I missed both of those. So I have to basically pick a new Ranger now to be obsessed over, and then maybe in 10 to 15 years, I will attend them. That's pretty much it.
What was Eli's last? That couldn't have been good. He must have lost that game, right? Or did he win? I mean, you could say last Super Bowl, and then you get credit for that, but yeah. I don't know. I know
he was like crying.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to tell.
They pulled an upset that day, didn't they? They pulled an upset
day. Eli won his last game to reach the 500 mark.
He did?
Right.
Something like that?
Oh, that's right. That's right. To get to 500, yeah. Not 500 wins, a 500 career record. All right, there you go. Well,
congratulations, Eli.
There you go. Riverboat Casino. We'll do it. That was a fun one, I think. Let's go to Shark Tank. These guys, their best bets for today or tomorrow or the weekend. This effing dog. I don't know what I'm going to do here. Paulie Kidd, you were the only winner on Tuesday's Shark Tank with the Islanders. Keep it going. Boy, risking your one game streak here. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I might have to switch this up because I don't know. I can give it whatever Middleton is to go over in points, I would jump on it. Okay. That's what I would tell you.
What was the last game? It's not 20, gonna move 20, much.
20, 24 and a half. It should be the same, right?
You know.
Yeah, it was so 20, it'll be almost so, identical. Within a half a point. Yeah.
I'm hoping that's up so you know we can post it soon. So why don't we just stick with Middleton over? He normally rebounds with a pretty impressive performance. So
okay.
I like Middleton there, and obviously if his over in threes as well, would probably be something I'd look into as well. But my Shark Tank will be.
You're not taking Isles plus 142, huh? All right. Got Middleton. Middleton over. I get it.
Yeah,
let's go. He's pulling the meatballs. He's got to stay quiet for this one.
Possibly no Kucherov either, Darren. No Kucherov for Tampa Bay. Leading score.
Wow. Unbelievable. Hey,
they didn't have him all year long, Harry. So
he's a leading scorer in the playoffs.
Tampa Bay, they've cheated. They've circumvented the salary cap by keeping him on the injury list all year long.
There you go.
It's been a lot of controversy surrounding that, by the way, in hockey. People don't really hear much about it, but it's fact.
Harry, jump in. Hockey, you have a hockey game here in your Sharp Thing.
Yeah, I'm going to take Las Vegas, Montreal tonight, under 5.5. I know it's minus 160, but under 5.5. Every game in the series, 5 goals or less. A major reason for that is Montreal is 100% in the series in penalty kills. And I mentioned it last week, and now it's up to 12 straight conference championship games for Las Vegas that have resulted in 5 goals or less. 12 straight. Keeps rolling.
That's crazy.
Goes to 13. I know, insane, right? Under 5.5 at minus 160, Las Vegas, Montreal tonight.
I mean, I guess they can't make it 5, right? So 5.5 minus 160. What are they going to do? All right,
12
brother Brian.
In a row.
That's a lot. All right, Brian.
Yeah. Parlay Kid just sent us. I just saw it too. Yeah, there was some circumventing of the rules by Tampa Bay, allowing them to like an extra 18.
Well, maybe they'll have to forfeit Game 7. Let's keep this going.
Parlay Kid's already sending it to us. That's great.
Yeah.
But I am gonna go. I have my Shark Tanks. You know, whatever. WNBA has been shit. I've been pretty good. I've been good on these UFC over round totals in these main events. So I'm going to stick with it this weekend. I'm going to go the Ciryl Gane, Alexander Volkov over 4.5 rounds at minus 112. Look, both guys are, you know, both guys, most of their fights, this is like a Harry reasoning in terms of most of their fights are finishes, but this fight, it's kind of reminds me a little bit when Volkov fought Curtis Blaydes in terms of Gon is a superior wrestler. Even though he's a good, a very good striker too, Gon, I think he might want to keep this on the ground a little bit, at least early, take Volkov down a little bit earlier and extend this later on into the fight. I think this is going the distance unless you get some type of Gon submission. I think I favor Gon a little bit, but by decision, but it's very close to the over 4.5 anyway. So over 4.5, -112.
All right. -112. You have any thoughts on Davis Barrios? Yeah, it'll be good. Boxing. It's hard, that's as good as boxing gets. -550 still.
It's funny that you have a Davis fight, right? And he's -400. Like every time you get a Davis fight, it's like -5,000.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing. Like I said, I assume you're putting Davis and Lomachenko and like you said, Italy. And,
yeah, I'm gonna have a lot of dumb things going because the Bucks screwed me real hard last night, and they'll do so again tomorrow, I'm sure. All right, there you go. All right, Harry, I can't argue with 12 in a row, but I will say the -160 number has not been kind to me or I think any of us here against the odds the last couple of weeks. But I will say I'll go with you. Las Vegas, Montreal, -5.5, -160. That's tonight. What to expect. Vegas with their backs against the wall, they don't know what to do with this Montreal. The Vegas Knights don't know what to do, and Vegas in general don't know what to do with this Montreal team odds-wise. But let's go with that under. All right, that does it. Harry, you Joel, what happened? Harry has a message for the fans or something?
Well, first of all, Harry, he gets a lot of good and bad from the fans on Twitter, and
sure.
We wanted to just take a moment to acknowledge them. Harry, this isn't a pulpit. It's just he's sitting at a Bavarian oak desk, but he deserves a right to speak back.
Go ahead, Harry. What's the matter?
Well, no, nothing's the matter at all. I just like I can appreciate getting slammed and it being witty and funny on Twitter, and I can't appreciate it when it's not, especially when it's like a Ben Kelly tweet, which is just not funny and it's not witty. Now, I will say, I'm going to give this guy, Doug Desane, who's been a fan of ours, listened to the podcast since day one. Darren, big Yankee fan,
Yep.
Over the past couple, and usually he's on my side. Now, he's slammed me a couple times in the last week in regards to our pal Ken. And I found them to be very funny and very witty, even though I got slammed and they're really not true, but still, like for Father's Day, I gave out in the video. I just wanted to throw out that, in the video, when it's Father's Day, I wished everyone happy Father's Day and everything like that. And he comes back with, did you get Ken a gift since he is your sugar daddy? Number one. Right. And then number two, when the other day for the prize, for the $100 prize, that when he said, you asked everybody, where I went.
Yeah, and a trivia question. Whoever answered correctly, where did Harry, what internship did he pass up to move to Vegas? And we played for John Wilson, who ended up winning $100 because he correctly guessed CNN. And so what did this guy guess?
Right. So all he said is his plan wasn't to always live off of Ken. So that's pretty good. So just listen, just Ben Kelly, just out there, try to be witty and funny like that. By the way, Parlay Kid, it's been awful quiet on Twitter, maybe because the Jazz choked again. I don't know.
been quiet. Yes.
Been very quiet, Ben.
All right. There you go. All right. Let's play good point, bad point real quick before we get out of here. Joel Solomon, what was the best point of the last hour or so?
Sal, I was going to give you best point Paul George over Devin Booker, but I think you forgot to consider one important thing. What? If Devin Booker is wearing a mask.
Oh, right. He is wearing a mask. I think he is wearing a mask. Go ahead.
Right. LeBron went off and scored 61. Kobe had a big streak when he wore a mask. Rip Hamilton never took the mask off. So I can't in good conscience give you good point if Devin Booker is wearing the mask.
Screwed that up. Somehow I think that'll work against him. I don't know why. It just seems like it would be a hindrance. But you remember, maybe he'll scare all the Clippers too. Is the other thing. All right. Yeah. All right. So I don't. So who gets the good point?
Well, of course we got to give it to Parlay Kid. He's riding high. Dak Prescott MVP odds. He gave a lot of ifs, more ifs than if Harry when Jim asked if he recorded his audio. That's a lot of ifs. I'll I'll take it. Dak Prescott, 15-1 odds for MVP.
There's always a lot of ifs. By the way, I was looking at Parlay Kid. Two things, Parlay Kid, I want to ask you. I should probably ask you off air. But, well, first of all, the Cowboys, if you bet their season total in the last 21 years, I think since 2000, the 14-7 have gone under. So there's a lot of public.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. Secondly, we talk about what would you want. We were talking about lasts and everything. I meant to ask you. And we like Dak Prescott a lot now. But if the Cowboys, we can go back in time, the Cowboys could have drafted Connor Cook. Would you have taken that? No, we don't get the Dak years, but we get that last Tony year, probably, definitely.
Darren definitely agrees to that.
Really?
100%. You know, Sal.
100%.
I do, too. Man, we'll take your answer off the air, but it's, I know. We're selfish idiots.
Because Sal, we know Tony Romo.
Yeah.
We know he's an excellent human being, and Dak is, too. It's something against Dak. It's just that at that time, you know, Romo had so many unfortunate things go against him during his career. And that final, you know, that back injury in a preseason game.
Well, the most unfortunate thing was meeting Harry in a Barney Rubble costume on Halloween. But there was bad luck leading up to
that. If you remember that year,
yeah,
Romo told you. He thought they might go undefeated that year.
I was looking at pictures of us at training camp with Romo.
He also told Sal he was making the cut in the golf tournament and he finished last.
No, but he said we are really good. And not Coach Sal,
I know.
You know, we were told by people on the inside that Romo in practice was just dominating their practices.
It's two different things. Right? He did get injured, so someone would have had to fill in, and they would have had to put him in the playoff.
Normally, don't lose your
position.
Job,
right?
Because of injury. But Dak, who would have expected a mid-round draft pick, to play so well so early? I mean, it was just again another terrible bad luck thing.
Well,
for
I blame the teams.
Knock it off,
two guys. Yeah, just cut his box off anyway. By the way, that was the longest he slept without taking a piss. That was a 15 seconds. But we have two guys here on the podcast. Joel Solomon, your Steelers ruined it for Romo because they were winning with a minute left. And if Dak loses that game, I really think Romo plays the next week. That was crazy because that made them like 8-1. Then it was like, oh shit, what do you do with this guy? And Brian, your guys drafted Connor Cook, right?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. What if the Raiders got Prescott?
Right, I know.
Damn, son of
a bitch. All right, we can't complain. He's Parlay Kid's MVP. There you go. Joel, Jim, you have a bad point?
No bad points today, but a good job by you, Sal, on getting those tickets. That was really nice for Parlay Kid and
very
Michael.
Nice, very nice.
I don't care.
That was really nice. Well, and good job by Parlay Kid, thanking all of us at Extra Points, even though none of us had anything to do with it. But bad job by you, Sal, on the timing of that because you did it on the day before Joel's birthday. Happy birthday, Joel. I can't wait to see what Sal gets you if he gets those people those tickets for nothing. It's your birthday.
Joel, just send him a t-shirt.
I didn't know that.
This goddamn Facebook.
Just
this
send
is
him
why
a
I
t-shirt.
Delete my account. This goddamn
happy
Facebook.
Birthday, baby.
Happy birthday, Joel.
Happy birthday, baby.
And Joel.
The older he gets, the more babyish that face gets. It becomes. It's unbelievable. All right. Happy birthday, Joel Solomon. I'm headed to the Dodgers game tonight because I heard it could be the last game ever at Chavez Ravine. I don't know how that
I'm
could
supposed
be,
to go, too.
Are you really?
Yeah, maybe I'll see you there.
Where are you sitting?
First base.
We're going. We're going with the Kimmel show. Jimmy got tickets for everyone. Right before the hiatus here, the summer hiatus.
Nice. Somebody might have to bring Joel then, I guess.
I'm going to send Brad to sit next to you, Jim. Yeah, so that'll be fun. Perfect. All right, everyone entering, have a good weekend. Happy birthday, Joel Solomon. That's another episode of Against All Odds. For the Degenerate Trifecta, Hill producer Jim Cunningham, Babyface Joel Solomon, Spaghetti and Meatballs, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na 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 na